Hi, this is Ryan Bruce with SpiritualHealingSource.com. It's a website I help create featuring the writings of Brad Cullen, an internationally recognized author of several books about spiritual topics and particularly related to physical and emotional healing.
So Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you today?
Fantastic, Ryan. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited about Secret 4C, Part C. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Does excited mean that you're going to tear me up as usual? Or
well, you know... Part of me is scratching my head, and the other part of me is going, what are you talking about?
Uh-oh, you're going to tear me up. Okay.
No tearing going on here. Besides, you're a tough guy. You can handle it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so without further ado, thanks for Secret 4 Part C. I really enjoyed it. It opened my eyes, but it also created a bunch of questions for me. But first of all, I've got a bit of a challenge for you in this. You make a statement that really doesn't line up with what I've heard you say before. Are you getting biblical? And what do you say that? Contradicting yourself?
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Here it comes. In the third paragraph of Part C, you say, I know that it is a truth that the source generally wants us to prosper and be in good health. What do you mean generally? In a previous article, you said very specifically that the source wants us to be in good health, and you knew that was the source's will. How can it be general then? Sounds like you're creating a weasel clause.
I bet this is a rhetorical question on your part, because I'll bet you know what I meant.
Well, I think our readers deserve an answer. So
I say generally because what I also know about the source, by any other title or name, is that he doesn't go against our proclivities. If we have decided that we're going to do something, he lets us learn the hard way, just like a good parent does.
Mm.
Generally means, and I probably should have used a different word, but I probably should have explained it, but all I mean by generally is, yeah, that's his purpose. His will and desire is that we all are in perfect health, and we don't realize the obstacles we put up. And so, anyway, that's all I meant.
Okay, so you're not just trying to get out of what you said earlier?
Not at all.
Okay, Brad, well, now we're going to get to the big heavy here, because you bring up a topic that I would have to say many, many people are uncomfortable with. And the discomfort probably has to do with experience. And it's something that we talk a lot about in our podcasts and on the website in your writing, that experience is critical to success. You talk about something that I highly doubt many people, if any, have. You talk about demonic entities manifesting before your eyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Heavy subject, brother, but I think you need to expand a little bit. I mean, did a demonic entity manifest, or did you just use your fabulous imagination from watching too many scary movies as a kid?
Well, you know, when I first introduced the subject to my psychiatrist friend, two things he had said to me the first time he heard it. One was, oh, no, you're not one of these guys that looks under every rock for a demon. And by the way, that had to do with his daughter, who was diabetic.
Okay.
And his brother had just died from diabetes, and I shared with him. He was in the middle of at the time, he was a medical director, which means he was the kind of the supervising psychiatrist over 8 other psychiatrists and several psychiatric social workers and RNs and stuff, but a private mental health hospital. This hospital was known for the treatment of multiple personality.
Okay.
Which is multiple personality syndrome, MPS, which is an extremely controversial diagnosis from a legal standpoint. You know, who's responsible? Is it this person, or is his alternate personality Joe, you know?
Right.
So he thought we hadn't seen each other face to face for several years. We had kept in touch by telephone, anyway, here we are together, and I was visiting, and that's when that conversation says, oh, no, you're not one of these people who look for a demon under every rock. And where that came up had to do with multiple personalities. He saw me react, and he said, hey, you know, what do you know about MPS, you know? And I just said, oh, you don't want to know. You know? He says, Brad, I do too want to know. And I said, well, let's put it this way. Every time I ever got rid of a demon causing the manifestation went.
Hmm.
And what happened to him was he invited me to come down to his beach house on the Oregon coast, and we spent a couple of days together, and it hit him why he was so effective at dealing with acting out multiple personality folk. It had to do with his having the authority. He had legal authority as a physician. In fact, state of Oregon, it was required. He had to take the responsibility, if you're going to use authority, I should probably say responsibility. And when he would, in a session with one of these people with, you know, 20 personalities or whatever, he would say to them, listen, I want to talk only to the primary personality here. I only want to talk to John Smith. The rest of you shut up. You know, that's the way he handled it. They would. And he'd try to train his nurses and train other psychiatrists at it, and they couldn't get it. And it finally hit me why, and it was because of the legal authority he had. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, but I still haven't had your answer. Answer my question yet. What is this demonic entity manifesting talk you're talking about? That sounds like you've been watching too much of The Exorcist.
Well, he accused me of that particular night when we got into it of engaging in mass hypnosis, whatever that means. Horror movies, I think, was another thing he came up with, but is because it is real. He certainly became a believer. I'm going to tell a side story here real quick. And that is, and all I'm answering is, what I'm trying to answer you is, did I dream this up or have a nightmare or watch a horror movie? No. I challenged him that he could learn how to pray effectively and never be bothered with calls on weekends or home calls from MPS again, and how to control them remotely in a method of prayer. So how do you like those apples? So that's a psychiatrist with an MD after his name, who became a believer, who called me a kook. And he'd tell his patients, so look, I've got this friend who's a kook who believes that some mental illnesses are caused by demons, and I'd like him to talk to you. He'd scare the pants off him, you know.
So you hypnotized a psychiatrist. Congratulations. You never still... You still I mean, so you hypnotized and convinced some psychiatrist that his patients were actually demonically possessed as opposed to lunatics and properly diagnosed people with mental illness. I mean, come on. No, you're laughing, but let's, you know, cut to the chase here. It says here, a demonic entity manifesting before my eyes. What are you talking about? Maybe I should send you to a psychiatrist.
I know, you're just baiting me because you've read the book, you've read both Treasure Chest and you've read Leapfrog, and if I'm not too sure, you've had a little bit of experience with evil spirits yourself, so...
Well, I have, Brad, but I...
So help me.
I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. There's no guarantee that any of our listeners have had any experience with demons or demonic manifestations, however you want to phrase it. And there's no guarantee that they have any kind of prayer life or faith built up or fasting regiment that would have led them to a place where they would have had that experience.
So let's tear that part of the article up.
Well, why would you want to do that? I mean,
I don't know.
If you tear that part of the article up, you're shortchanging the people that are listening to the podcast, and they're not getting the full value out of the secret. Because there's a secret here. This is part of the secret.
Well, then why don't you work with me instead of attacking me, Ryan?
I think that maybe what needs to happen is an explanation and an understanding for our listeners to realize that seeing demons is not a commonplace thing, and that not everybody will, and nor should they expect to.
But that nor would they even want to.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not there.
Right.
And so how do we help the listeners understand what they're dealing with if they come across this situation? And that's really what I'm after, Brad. I guess I'm
okay. Let me give you something that I think some folks will gravitate to immediately, and that is people don't really understand Genesis, the first chapter. God did not give man, human being, man, dominion over the earth, as is taught by so many evangelicals. He gave spirits dominion over the earth. Those spirits still work behind the scenes. There is a whole other world that is actually at work that we don't see. And yeah, it is scary until you're familiar with it, until you have experience with it, and also when you understand and use your authority in it. Now, how's that for a brush stroke?
That's a good brush stroke, Brad. I appreciate that. So I think the best advice that we could give to listeners and readers that if you do encounter it, send an email to Brad, and maybe he can help you through the process. How does that sound?
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, I've had a couple of instances where I have dealt with it by email and have helped people through it. So,
well, I can tell you, I sure wish I had known you the first time I encountered a spirit, because my response was to get up and run from the room. Claire, what you were talking about was understanding the authority before you actually deal with the demon. So,
period.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't mess with them unless you understand and know what you're doing.
And what does it take to understand and know what you're doing?
Much fasting and prayer. Breaking through your ridiculous mindset about anything and thinking you know what's going on, because you don't. I don't. None of us know what's going on the other side at all. And the only way you're going to find out and know is to be able to follow Spirit, to follow Dad, moment by moment. And the only way you get to that, that I know of, the only way I broke through, the only way that psychiatrists broke through, was fasting. Both of us have fasted for weeks.
Well, we're not supposed to be talking about fasting at this moment in time, but I do believe it's something we're going to have to discuss for our readers, okay? And we touched on it last time, so I feel like there's definitely a topic to come up here in the future that our readers are going to want to know more about, because fasting is an important part of spiritual growth, and we'll have to deal with it sooner or later. So, now I want to move on, because there's one more paragraph that created some confusion for me, Brad, and it's towards the end, and I'm going to quote directly from it. It says, some religious teachers may call this presumption and not faith. And what you're referring to is the knocking on the door, rapping, rap, rap, rap. And you go on to say, my retort is that teaching what Jesus taught is presumption, or worse yet, is what is going to lead to your being deceived by evil spirits and is presumption of the highest order. I'm a bit confused by this, because it kind of sounds to me like you're saying that if I teach what Jesus taught, I'm being presumptuous.
How about I wrote it very poorly? That's the simple answer to that. That's horrible syntax. Well, no, what I'm saying is religious teachers have a tendency to contradict what Jesus said and call it presumption. And all I'm saying is that Jesus taught us to be presumptuous. He taught us to approach God presumptuously as a little child or as a close friend. And these people who teach that that's presumptuous are being presumptuous of the highest order.
I understand. What you're saying is that I shouldn't approach the throne room with my head bowed and my hands clasped and trembling in fear and so on and so forth. But What about that? I think it's a psalm or something like that, where it says, "Fear of God is the beginning of all understanding." Ooh, that's a loaded one, isn't it?
Well, shall I go back to in the original language?
Yeah, you can.
You love that.
But I'm pretty sure that most of the Christians I've met, and I would suggest to you that most Muslims I have met, and most Jews are quite afraid of God as they see him.
Yeah, the word actually, respect. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon in the United States?
No, but it's one of my dreams, I tell you. I hear it's so fantastic. But let's not get bogged down with the beauty of the Grand Canyon.
Well, that's awe. It's that kind of awe. But when you see it, it's wow. Okay. And when you have the awareness of just how all-encompassing his love is, and that's all it was said. So it's that kind of awe, of it's just a realization of who and what God is, and the wonder, and that's not fear.
Well, I have to say that I did feel that way at the beginning of my relationship, but now my relationship tends to degrade from time to time to fist shaking.
Yeah, isn't it great? And by the way, that's where I learned that one was from my psychiatrist friend. Eat, pray, shaking his fist in the air. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Brad. I appreciate you bringing clarity today.
You mean we're all done already?
We are all done because...
You mean, oh no, you're this is one of those easy ones again?
Well, your fear was unfounded is what I'm telling you.
Okay, well, I have a healthy respect for that mind of yours. So
thank you.
You have a tendency to lead me down rosy paths and get me all riled up.
I didn't need to do that. I think that talking about demons and entities manifestation is enough rile for anybody for one day.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So thank you, Brad.
Hey, thanks, Ryan.
Bye.